Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Welcome back. We are halfway through Mayvember.
Or Mayvember?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. It's like
Did you just invent something?
I did not. Ask any mother out there. It's like November, where it's the month where you're trying to squeeze in every single thing possible. All of the recitals and the school assemblies and birthday parties and everything that you need to do. You name it. It happens in May.
I'm going to call you out on that. I disagree. And the reason for it?
Because you don't have kids in school.
Well, no.
No.
I did have kids in school once upon a time.
Well, yes.
But isn't every month like that?
Oh.
Come on.
Kind of. But May is so much worse.
See, and I think I could probably go back through all the recordings from this show, and I could probably find at least three other months where you say the same thing.
I could, yeah.
Like, oh, December, it's the worst. All the recitals and the parties and the gifts. And
well, even June, but June you like cram it into 2 weeks. So you're right. Maybe I do. It is. It's just, it's busy. So
if we were really organized.
Feeling out there.
If we were really organized, this is where I'd cue the tape of you saying, November is the worst. October is the worst.
I mean, when do you do all the things? There's so many things that are happening.
Somebody once said something to me.
Yeah.
I think it was when we were in a fundraising call, and it was somebody that wasn't from Astoria, and they were kind of quizzing us on, really, you know, is the attendance really there for an expanded film museum?
Oh.
And the board member that I was with said, look at our schedule events. There is something every weekend from February 1st through the end of December.
Oh, yes.
And I thought about it, and he was right. I mean, there really is something happening.
I mean, yeah, not much of a shoulder season anymore, right? And how about first opening day of the market? Did you go down to that craziness? We had two cruise ships in town.
It was crazy.
I'm sure you know.
It was very busy.
Beautiful weather. Tons of dogs, of course. Everyone brings their dogs.
Don't get me on that.
It was so crowded. But of course, I did still buy some plants and all the goodies and all those good things. But yeah, but
good,
it was opening
good deal.
Day.
Okay, so I'm not going to comment on dogs at the park. But, you know, I'm a baseball fan.
Yes.
So I was watching a game sometime in the past 2 weeks on TV. And I kind of I do the fast forward thing. So I don't watch it live just so I can kind of skip the things that I don't necessarily want to waste time on. But it was Bark at the Park.
Oh.
Why do you bring your dog to a baseball game?
How
does that make it a better experience?
How does it work? And where do they go to the bathroom?
I don't know. I assume it's like someplace to walk.
They have to leave the stadium.
But it just seemed weird.
Oh, Bart. Yeah, those poor dogs.
That's what I'm thinking.
To see a ball being thrown that you don't get to go catch.
You would think they would get all excited. Like, I want to go catch that ball.
It's like their worst nightmare.
Yeah. So okay. I'm glad you agree with me.
I do.
So horrible, horrible. Okay. So it's just you and me. There's no
guest. It is. I know.
So it's 2 weeks in a row.
No, we had a guest last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But the week before that,
yes.
We had nothing.
It all blended. That's when we forgot our program.
Yes. Yep. That one's still in the queue.
We have a program.
But we
should get first the history highlights.
Let's do it.
So it's not a big list, but it's a good list. So these are things that happen tomorrow, May 18th. And I did consider, you suggested perhaps like I do a whole week.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about that.
I thought about it, but I liked my list for tomorrow. So.
Okay.
May 18th, 1642, Montreal is founded.
Oh.
I like Montreal. Have you ever
been? Yes, I have not.
When we lived in Vermont, we drove up there.
Okay. Everyone speaks French.
Very historic.
Montreal? Yes, okay.
I don't know. Quebec is really the one that's
okay.
Far, but Montreal, yes. The signs were both in French and in English.
Great.
So, very charming. And there was an Ethan Allen connection, which is one of the reasons I went up once.
Oh.
Because he goes up there and he decides he's going to seize it during the Revolutionary War, and it doesn't go very well.
Oh, so he comes back? Is that why he came back?
No, he got captured and he went to England. But.
Oh. Oh, man.
There's a funny story, though, where wherever he was being held captive to have some fun, because Ethan Allen was like an over-the-top kind of peacock kind of guy, big, tall guy, and just very flamboyant. But apparently they put in the outhouse a picture of George Washington, and they were waiting for his reaction. And he didn't give them any. And when they said, well, did you notice the portrait we put in there? And he said, yeah, it makes sense to me.
Oh.
And they said, why? And he goes, well, every time you Brits see a picture of him, you need the toilet.
Oh, that's a good one.
So, I don't know why that just came up. Oh, Montreal, that's why.
Yep.
All right, 1652. Rhode Island, 1652. Rhode Island enacts the first law declaring slavery illegal.
Wow.
Rhode Island.
Good for them.
Way to go. There's a lot to like about Rhode Island.
Yes. They're small. That's probably why it worked.
Yes. 1830. Edwin Budding of England signs an agreement for the manufacture of his invention, a lawnmower.
Oh, genius.
Yep. 1830.
That's a lot earlier than
Saturdays have never been the same.
Right.
Oh, I forgot there was one I was going to make you guess the date. Although I guess I still can. 1860, Abraham Lincoln is nominated for the presidency at the Republican National Convention.
Yep.
Abraham Lincoln, Republican.
Yeah. Good.
All right. 1896. This was almost going to be the history highlight, but I wanted to go with something a little more positive. So you know this isn't going to be a good one. 1896. The Supreme Court rules separate but equal is constitutional in Plessy versus Ferguson.
Yep.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
So Brown versus Board of Education came in what, 61?
No, it's like, well, maybe, yeah, I think it was like 54, 56.
Oh,
or 54. Like,
you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Put me on the quizzing here.
I know. Yep. So. Separate but equal.
1896, separate but equal. 1920.
But it was a jury, or was it a jury or a judge? Either way, I'm sure it was all white men who made that decision.
Supreme Court.
Yeah. Yes, all white men decided.
1896, 100%.
This
definitely.
Is separate but equal. Okay. All right. Just had to remind everyone.
Yes. 1927. And this is from this stuff has been going on far longer than it should. 1927, Bath School disaster in Bath, Michigan. Andrew Kehoe blows up the Math Consolidated School, killing 38 children and two teachers.
Oh my goodness.
1927.
I didn't.
This is not a new problem.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know about that one.
No, he blows it up. He
right.
Shoot it up.
Right.
But
still
38 children, two teachers. Bath, Michigan. 1927. 1980. Mount St. Helens erupts.
Blows its top.
It's the I didn't realize this largest landslide in history.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. Documented, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kills 57 people and over $1 billion in damages.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yep. Yeah. Okay. So this is the one I'm going to make you guess the year. So you know it's after 1980.
Okay.
Facebook goes public.
Ooh.
Raises $16 billion in the largest tech IPO in U.S. history.
Oh,
I would not have even come close on this.
Facebook goes public. I don't know. 1997.
See, that's exactly when I was kind of thinking. 2012.
Oh, okay.
Does that seem really late?
It does. So I mean, we weren't using it yet, but.
When were you on Facebook for the first time?
Oh, I think I was forced to be when I was in news. So, yeah, even our TV stations created accounts for us at that point.
Oh, wow.
So that's after 2000, probably. I mean, I started in 2000, so
2004. 2004, yeah, is when I was thinking. So I kind of assumed it was like right after that.
Okay, interesting.
All right, but our history highlight of the day, I think had the most impact on history, and this is a good one. 1933, the Tennessee Valley Act is signed by FDR to build dams and bring electricity to rural states in the mid to south area.
Yeah.
The TVA.
It's great.
We like it.
Yeah.
So what'd I miss?
Oh, I don't know. I stopped reviewing
yours. You did stop reviewing.
Yeah, a long time ago, Mac.
I feel like I should always ask.
I just like to argue with you if I don't agree with something. So I'll leave it open.
I need to put like some token ones in just so you like disagree with me.
Right.
They're totally ridiculous.
That's not old enough, Mac.
I was at a conference earlier this week on... mass timber. Where they like kind of glue panels in the opposite direction, I guess, to make it really strong. And one of the speakers made the comment, and I haven't researched it, but it was just my head kind of exploded. He said, we are right at the cusp, the same as we were 100 years ago when concrete really got crazy.
Oh.
And started being used in everything, and that mass timber is going to be used in everything.
Oh, interesting. It is a reusable resource.
Well, and they're building tall skyscrapers now out of it. And they didn't used to because wood
right.
burns. So we got to have steel and concrete.
interesting.
But just that revolution that concrete made in terms of construction, they argued we're on the cusp of this new thing. So I'm not an expert. I threw that out there for no apparent reason.
Right.
Except for just the history and me and arguing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like, well.
So, all right. So we've got a big event coming up.
We do. In June. So
June 7th is by mayoral proclamation was deemed Goonies Day. It's the day that the movie The Goonies was released. And ever since the 25th anniversary, we've celebrated some extent every year. Mm-hmm. We haven't put
always something.
I mean, the off years are kind of small. But last year was the Goonies 40th anniversary. But this year is the 40th anniversary of Short Circuit.
I love it.
So even though Short Circuit was released in May, rather than have two things back to back, we're celebrating June 5th, 6th, and 7th. Short Circuit 40th. Sony presents.
I love it.
Sony's on board.
Thank you, Sony.
We really appreciate it. And one of the goals of this, you know, in the past, we've put a whole bunch of effort every 5 years into getting 10,000 people here, 12,000 people here.
More people.
Yes. Especially considering Astoria's a population of 10,000, it's kind of mind-boggling. But especially at the Oregon Film Museum, that we're not about just the Goonies.
Right.
We get it's important. It's critically important. It is the most asked about movie in Oregon. But we want to try to make these celebrations more about Astoria film, Clatsop County film, and maybe Oregon film. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be cool if instead of every 5 years, it's like 10,000 and it's crazy and we have to put a bunch of time and effort into it, that we bring like 2,500 or 5,000 people every year?
Yes. Or throughout the year. Yes.
I thought I'd get more than just yes.
No, of course. I mean, even just when I was researching these Oregon films and I've been to the museum so many times, sometimes I'm like, oh, that one was filmed here. And then there's, of course, a bunch of movies that I've never heard of.
Yes.
And then I start reading who's in them and I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe. I mean, Angelina Jolie was in a movie and
Bandits. Yeah.
It's just kind of amazing. So, yeah.
So there is a long giant list for just really quickly. And we should talk about this next week in depth, but we've got tons of stars from Short Circuit coming. Ally Sheedy, Steve Guttenberg, Tim Blaney, we just got all the people involved. The guy that built the robots is coming. We've also got, because we are pulling the lens back by popular demand, Robert Davi from The Goonies is back. He was here last year and everybody loved him. He's one of the Fratellis.
Okay. Yes.
We've got the kid from Free Willy.
Oh, really?
And he doesn't do these things.
Okay.
And one of the things I'm really excited
about. Jesse.
One of the things I'm really excited by, you know, we want to make this more than just you go to the Liberty Theater, you see the stars on stage and they chat a little bit and they answer some questions. And then there's a chance for you to get autographs. So we've got a number of workshops, kind of breakout workshops. It'll be in the McTavish Room and some other places. But we've got like a whole thing on puppeteers. And one of the robots in Short Circuit was, you know, some of the scenes are with a puppet. And we've got some folks from Leica in Portland.
Oh, how neat.
Shadow Machine. So they'll be here to talk about, and for just 50 people, very intimate.
Right.
We'll max out at about 50. So I like that we're starting to do kind of the behind the scenes, not just a chat with the star or chat with person involved, but let's talk about the art of filmmaking.
Right. So. Well, and it's great for this next generation too, because, you know, videography and filmography has changed so much. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. So you want to get this started?
Okay,
we're just going to talk about some films.
We're just going to talk. And I think they are in order. Yeah. So it just starts. This one is the 1926 and it's The General, directed by Clyde Bruckman and Buster Keaton. This is a silent film and it's based on a real Civil War battle. The protagonist is played by Buster Keaton and is unfortunately a wannabe Confederate soldier. But I love this the most. So it took place in Oregon rather than its historical real life setting of Marietta, Georgia, which I've been to Marietta. But the residents couldn't stomach the thought of having a wartime comedy. And so it was nixed and they were not allowed to go and film there. It filmed at a now demolished Portland theater. And then in this article, it's by PDX Monthly. They list their most Oregon moments. And the most Oregon moment in this movie was when Keaton steals a wooden bicycle with a flying leap, riding it along the river to chase a train.
And he's like caught on the front of the train. And one of the cool things about this film, and I think you can Google it and find it like on YouTube or something, but they have the train. It's a real train. It's going across this wooden bridge, and the bridge blows up.
Oh, my gosh.
And they had, like, two cameras running, and it was just one take. We weren't going to get to redo this because this is 1926.
Right. It's a real train.
And it's a real train, and they got the shot. It's kind of amazing. They blew it up, and the train, like, fell into this little shallow river gorge kind of thing, and it stayed there for years.
Oh, my gosh.
But then during World War II, they realized there was a bunch of scrap metal there.
Oh.
So they took it out and scrapped it. But the train was like in this little stream or little river for
reusable
for 20 years. Yeah. All right. So Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, 1954.
And I did not remember that this one.
Oh, yeah. This is one of my parents' favorite films.
Is it really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
But it's from a musical.
Yes.
Yes.
Set in Oregon Territory, 1850. It's a CinemaScope musical spectacular. It was filmed mostly on an MGM lot, but with painted mountain backdrops and fuzzy fake forest projections. But there is a little bit that was shot in Idaho and in Oregon. So when you realize the prop master bought a bunch of Pendleton blankets to wrap around the brothers when Millie washes their union suits and to throw over the heads of the village girls who are kidnapped. So it's not technically an Oregon film, but because of the blankets.
Yes.
It's just kind of cool to see the Pendleton blankets.
Right. Paint Your Wagon, 1969. This is the underrated Halloween costume. Lee Marvin's Ben Rumsey, the salty sage prospector, prone to being a muddy drunk and melancholy until he lands in a happily married triple with John Seberg and Clint Eastwood in this Lerner and Lowe Gold Rush musical set in California, but filmed in and around the Wawas. Eastwood even sings in the movie.
See, he can actually sing. It's Lee Marvin that's the scarier thing.
The most Oregon moment in this one, it's the endless rain that keeps all the men in their tents drinking, singing, or burying their souls to one another.
And that town actually celebrates.
Do they?
Yeah, they finally kind of figured it out, and there's a museum there that has some exhibits about it. One of my favorite quotes ever from an Oregon film, she goes, the wife of these two guys goes down, and she's like one of the few women in this town, and she's bathing in the river. And of course, all the men in town see that she's bathing in the river.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Lee Marvin. I can't remember which one, but I think Lee Marvin, he says, you know, were you just down there at the river? And she goes, yes. He goes, well, I guess I married me a tourist attraction or something like that.
Jeez. And then these next years, this is when film really starts to pick up, the film industry in Oregon. So the next one's is 1970. It's Five Easy Pieces. California oil fields could easily be clear cuts in the Coast Range, and the bowling alley where Bobby, which is Jack Nicholson, drinks, could be in the shadow of any extractive industry between Bakersfield and Port Angeles. His road trip north to Canada has priceless shots of Oregon Highway, and somehow the travelers take a right in Newport and end up in the Eugene Denny's, which is still there and open for the legendary diner scene. Geographic accuracy is not something anyone cares about. And the most Oregon moment for this is when the group picks up a pair of hitchhikers bound for clean Alaska. We've all met characters like those too, whose defects only get worse as their grandiose expectations aren't met.
And see, I never really made this connection. Tony Basil is the hitchhiker that gets picked up. Is that like, oh, Mickey, you're so fine, Tony Basil?
Oh, I don't know.
Am I misremembering this?
Oh, it could be.
Wow. Okay, so probably one of the most Oregon novels and TN movies.
And the reason why my parents moved to Oregon. One of the reasons.
Sometimes a Great Notion.
Yeah.
1971, directed by Paul Newman. Tons of behind-the-scenes drama landed Paul Newman in the director's chair for this unhurried adaptation of Ken Kesey's sprawling family epic, which Newman spun into a new Hollywood poison pill about the dangers of rugged individualism. Set in fictional town of Wakanda, Oregon. Not kidding. Not making that up. And shot in Lincoln County, Sometimes a Great Notion, zeroes in on a logging family, helmed by Henry Fonda, the Stamper family, who juggle local ridicule for strike-breaking with the return of the prodigal son from the East Coast. And the most Oregon moment in this film, the Stamper's dedicated mailbox for issues of the Oregonian.
I love that. Not the Portland
show
Tribune.
Show us some of that book learning. There's
something about that. Oh, nice. Okay, so the next one, Closed Mondays, 1974, directed by Will Vinton. Still the only Portland-made movie to win an Academy Award for Best Animated Short, despite its initial rejection on the festival circuit. This psychedelic stop-motion oddity launched Will Vinton from local hobbyist to animation legend. The most Oregon moment is the way this film's anticipated the pandemic's impact on anything in Portland being open on Mondays.
So before somebody says, wait a minute, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio just won an Oscar for animation. This is for a short.
Animated short. Yeah. Yep.
But Will Vinton, I don't think people understand quite the impact and importance. And that's why we have Laika. It's a direct descendant of Will Vinton Studios in Portland. And then Shadow Machine that just won the Oscar. Portland is just, it's a hotbed for animation and that stop motion especially. And Will Vinton's the guy that, he didn't invent it, but he certainly perfected it and made it popular.
And why Portland? Because the originators lived here.
That's where he lived.
And then now the others come.
Yeah.
And all you need is a computer now to get your animation.
Well, no, that's one of the amazing things.
But you shoot it and then share it out, via.
Like, they're actually in Shadow Machine. They're building a little guy and then moving him just a half a centimeter and then taking another picture and then moving him a little bit further. It's astounding.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing. The art form. So One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's the most Oscar-winning film in Oregon history, 1975. It's another Ken Kesey story, and it's mostly shot at the Oregon State Hospital. Jack Nicholson gives an amazing performance as Dodger Randall McMurphy, who you're not sure if he's really crazy or not, or if he's just trying to get out of hardcore prison. And he stirs up a hullabaloo in the psychiatric hospital where his mental health is being assessed.
So for One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest, I know it's Ken Kesey again, but was that a book or was it, did he write it as a playwright?
It was a book, I believe. Yeah.
Because I've read the play, but I'm surprised now that I'm thinking of it that I haven't read the book.
And honestly, kind of a hard book to read.
Probably.
I've not enjoyed it. It's all from the Native American chief's perspective.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everything that was going on in the hospital at that time in real life, of course. Yeah. So Animal House, of course, everybody knows Animal House, 1978. It changed film comedy and earned itself its spot in AFI's 100 Greatest Comedies, plus preservation in the Library of Congress. The movie's hedonistic bent led the University of Oregon to hide for 30 years that it was the primary filming location. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize they didn't want people to know.
No, would you?
Well, no, but still, now it's a staple in University of Oregon culture, and there's plaques around campus dedicated to important scenes and school chants inspired by the movie. The most Oregon moment is the whole unfettered glimpse into the frat houses at University of Oregon.
So the Animal House frat building is gone. We actually have a few pieces of the building that were saved when it was demolished because it really did kind of look like that.
Oh my gosh.
But we actually, sometime last year, I think, there was a guy that was in that frat that contacted us because they were all extras in the film.
Oh, funny.
And they got paid a little bit for it. And he has, in the scene where John Belushi, the guy rides the motorcycle up and then John Belushi's walking down and smashes the guitar. He's at the bottom of the stairs wearing kind of like a basketball uniform and he gave us the uniform.
Oh, that's so funny. His wife's like, please get this out of our
strange
basement.
Things that come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, so. That's pretty cool though.
Yeah. So The Shining, this is one that people are really surprised when they come into the Oregon Film Museum.
Like, oh, that was filmed there? Okay.
But it's just about like 4 or 5 minutes.
Right.
That is filmed, of course.
But they're so iconic.
Yes.
I mean, just because it's meant to be the setting, right?
Yeah. So we all know the story, of course. It's isolation.
Creepy. All of it's scary.
Yeah. But film buffs are quick to point out that the opening aerial shots are unused takes from Ridley Scott's Blade Runner. And the interiors are the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado. But Oregonians know where the Overlook exteriors were filmed, Timberline Lodge.
Yep.
And then, of course, the most Oregon moment when Jack tells a ghost he's the best darn bartender from Timbuktu to Portland, Maine, or Portland, Oregon, for that matter.
That's a pretty good one. Have you been to Timberline recently?
Four years ago.
I mean, it's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, I hadn't been in 20 years.
Oh, wow.
When we went last summer. We actually talked about it on a episode when we got lost on the way to the Lost Lake. but yeah, it is, you know, of course I would never tell my children about it, but there are references all over Timberline about The Shining.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a whole room. I mean, they've embraced it.
Right. But there isn't a room with that number.
Yes. Yes.
So
sure.
And they're a little like creative in it too, so that when my daughter, who was 9 at the time, was reading it, she didn't know that it was a like a horror movie. Yes. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. There was a movie filmed here, and nope, you're not, you know. So
yeah, it's a tough one for little ones.
All over, but yeah. Yeah. Okay. So next one, moving on. Quarterback Princess, 1983.
I'm not familiar with this one.
This is based on the true story of Tammy Mehta, a freshman quarterback on Philomath High's JV football team in 1981. This McMinnville shot TV movie stars Helen Hunt in the movie. She's a little older and on the varsity team, and a host of TV characters, Daphne Zuniga, Tim Robbins, and Kathleen Willite. The town is called Minnville in the movie. The most Oregon moment, bigoted adults piping up at a school board meeting in Yamhill County with their concerns about the erosion of traditional values, the natural order, and their oh-so-precious genders.
There we go.
That was 1983.
So we got, of course, the Goonies in 85, Stand By Me in 86. They're celebrating the 40th anniversary this year down in Brownsville. They're killing
it. How fun. And who are they bringing? Have you seen?
I think that pretty much everywhere but Will Wheaton and Corey Feldman.
They are going.
Yeah. And one of the other guys, I can't remember which one. But they've been kind of doing the whole circuit.
Yeah.
So. Short Circuit, of course, is also turning 40. But the most Oregon moment, I like this, in yes. Short Circuit is when an old farm wife yeah. turns to her husband after security forces have surrounded their pickup and says, "I hope you took the grass out of the glove compartment."
That's so, I mean, 1986. That's so funny. Overboard, another one that I had forgot was filmed in Oregon, of course.
Just one little scene.
Yes, but it's supposed to. Oh, no, it's. Are they saying they're in Oregon, though, in the movie?
You know, it goes back and forth because they're claiming they're in Oregon, a fictional okay. town called Elk Cove.
Okay.
But I've seen it on lists probably because of that, but I've also seen that, no, it's all filmed in California.
Yeah. So that's pretty fun. The next one is Permanent Record, 1988. What if Portland's gray asphalt jungle and rumbling MAX trains were a stone's throw from the beach so kids could hang out on dramatic sea cliffs right before the bell rings at Benson High School as they stare at the ocean while processing a friend's suicide? Well, that's the wishful geography of Permanent Record. Very creative. We love the Oregon landscape because you can do that. And it stars Keanu Reeves. The most Oregon moment is Keanu drowning his feelings with a cheap beer at the seaside.
Yeah. Drugstore Cowboy. Gus Van Sant movie. The Portland of Drugstore Cowboy is one of hustlers and dope fiends, wastoids and working stiffs, disgraced priests and detectives with a grudge. And one of my favorite things about that is the hazy snapshots of old Portland from the Pearl District when it was just like really an industrial zone.
Yeah. The next one's Breaking In, 1989. This is sex workers, safe crackers, and small-time criminals whose idea of dreaming big is clearing out all the cash that accumulates at Oaks Park over the 4th of July weekend. That's the Portland of Breaking In, penned by John Sayles and directed by Bill Forsyth. A subdued Burt Reynolds plays the safe cracker.
It's an amazing list of people that have made movies.
I know, and all of these actors and actresses. So, yes, thank you for obliging my little...
Yeah. So come on in the Oregon Rabbit Film Hole. Museum and learn some more.
Learn more, yeah.
Or maybe someday an expanded film museum and you'll Yay! Learn even more.
Yes.
All right. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.
This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and streaming live at KMUN.org.
KMUN relies on listener feedback to determine what the community wants to hear more of and where we can improve. If you heard something you enjoyed or have constructive feedback about our offerings, get in touch with station staff anytime at feedback@KMUN.org. This is also a great way to let DJs know that you love their show. We look forward to hearing from you. Feedback@KMUN.org.
Thanks for joining me for Concierto, the bilingual program featuring classical music by Spanish and Latin American composers and performers. I'm Frank Dominguez. Esta vez empezamos con música para cuerdas con el Cuarteto Latinoamericano. Fundado en México en 1982, el cuarteto consiste de los hermanos Bitrán, Saúl y Aarón tocando violines, y el chelista Álvaro Bitrán, junto con violista Javier Montiel. Vamos a escuchar dos selecciones de su disco Brasilero, obras de Francisco Miñone. Empezamos con tres canciones españolas escritas en 1932 por Francisco Miñone.